Base. We're up to the last of the 16 Mishnayos that list items that have different forms, and that one of the forms is able to become Tomei even via Tumas Medras, because it's designated for a purpose that supports the weight of a person. And a second form of that item can become Tomei from regular sources of impurity, just not via Tumas Medras, because it's considered to be a Kli, but it's not for supporting the weight of a person. And the third example in each of these Mishnayos is something, another form of that item, which cannot become Tomei at all. Says the Mishnah Sholish Svochis Hain, there are three head coverings that women would wear, and we're talking about a head covering which is made out of a mesh material. And the first kind is Shel Yalda, the sort of mesh covering that young ladies would wear. And it's quite possible that this was very similar to a headscarf, and as such they would sometimes use it to lie down on or to sit on. It was a soft material that could be used in a similar way to a cushion, and therefore Tumei Tumei Midras, it can become Tomei via the transfer of Tumma called Tumas Medras. Shel Zakena, a head covering which is used by a older woman, this would usually not be such a soft material, so they wouldn't sit on it. Sitting on it might also cause it to get damaged, and therefore Tumei Tumei Mase, it can only become Tomei with an impurity that comes from a dead body or another source of impurity, just like all items of clothing can become Tomei. But it wouldn't be able to become Tomei via Tumas Medras. And thirdly, Vishal Yotzis Lachutz, we're going to understand this to refer to an extra head covering that the woman would wear when she would go outside in order to protect her hair from the rain, or to protect the lower head covering from the rain. Either way, since it doesn't have a positive function that it itself is fulfilling in a positive way, rather it's something which is protecting from damage. It's protecting the hair or the lower hair covering from getting damaged. This is not considered to be a real significant function of this item in and of itself, and therefore Torah Miklum, it would not be able to become Tomei at all. Mishnah Yud Zayin. Although this Mishnah begins in a similar way to the way that all of the other Mishnahs of this Perek began, by saying that Sholosh Kupeis Hein, there are three kinds of boxes, the continuation of the Mishnah is actually dissimilar to the other Mishnahs of this Perek. And the discussion of the Mishnah revolves around two different items that are connected to each other to become like one. And which part of this new item that is made up of the two parts is considered to be the more primary part that would define the status of that item? Behua Shetaloya al Habriya, a worn-out box that somebody connected to a strong box in order to strengthen or slightly repair the strong box. If, for example, the strong box had a little hole in it, in order to fix this issue, he placed one box into the other and stuck them together to essentially make one box now, which is just a bit stronger and hasn't got any holes in it, because any hole that would be in the stronger box is covered up by the worn-out box. In such a case, which of the two parts of this combined box is considered to be more significant? Of course, Holchan Achar Abriya, we follow the stronger box, because that is considered to be the more significant and useful and primary part of this combined box. Likewise, Ketana Al Hagadola, if somebody attaches a smaller box to a larger box in order to solve or repair a particular problem or hole that existed in the larger box. And again, that means that he placed one inside of the other and stuck them together. So the easiest way of understanding the case is that they are the same width and length, but maybe one of the boxes is shorter than the other one. And because of that, the primary main part of this combined box is considered to be the larger one. We follow the larger one when coming to define the status of this item. And what that means is that if one of these two boxes had become Tomei, the status of the combined box follows either the larger one or the stronger one. And that would be the status that every single part of that combined box would have. What happens if Hayu Shoveis, both of the boxes were equal in size and quality, they were both strong, then Hulchan Achar Panimis, we would follow the inner box. Although it's impossible for it to have been exactly the same size, because then you can't really put one box inside of the other, presumably the Mishnah means that it's virtually the same size, and one of the boxes just about fits into the other one. In such a case, we would follow, and the status of the combined box would be fixed according to the inner box, because that's the part of the box that actually holds that which is placed inside of it. Rabbi Shimon says another example which is based on very similar rules. Kaf Maznayim, the mini bowl that is used, the bowl or the mini plate that is used as part of a balance scales, there would usually be two small plates on either side of the balance scales. Shetloya al Shulei HaMecham, that somebody fixed onto the edge, onto the base of a pot in order to fix and repair that pot. The word teloya refers to when somebody ties or attaches something in order to fix and stop up a hole or a different issue which exists in the pot. And in this case, this small pot had already become tomei, whereas the pot was not tomei. Mibifnim, if he attached this mini plate to the inside of the pot, then tomei, the entire pot and the plate which is attached to it, would be tomei, because according to the rule that was taught in the previous Mishnah, the status of this combined item is based on the inner part of the item, assuming that the overall area of both items is the same. Mibachutz, but if he attached it to the outside of the pot, so that means which is the inner part of this combined item, the pot, and the pot until now was pure. And that means that the status of the entire item will be tohar, that it is indeed pure. Toloya al tzidoy. However, if he attached and fixed this mini plate, which was part of the balance scales, to the side of the pot, which he would do if a hole had developed in the side of the pot, so then we're almost certainly talking about a case where this mini plate is going to be smaller than the pan, than the pot. If it's inside and it's placed at the bottom of the pot, so it could be that this plate is more like a bowl and it does really take up a lot of area. But if you're attaching it to the side of the pot in order to close up a hole, so we're talking about something which doesn't just bulge out very much and it is as big as the pot, nobody would attach that to the side of a pot. Only if it's a little small plate would he put it on the side of the pot. So since we're talking about something which is smaller than the pot, according to the rules that were mentioned in the first half of the Mishnah, we don't now follow the inner part. We follow the largest part, and therefore, bemim bifnim, bemim bachutz, whether it was placed on the inside of the pot, on the side, or on the outside, on the side, tahar, the entire combined item, would be considered pure, which is the status of the pot, because the pot is the largest and certainly most primary part of this combined item.
Paragraph Hey Mishnah Aleph. Interestingly, although there are certain stringencies that we find amongst the laws of impurity that apply midrabbanon to liquids, on a midraisa level, according to the Torah, there is actually a leniency that exists in liquids, unlike anything else that can become tomei, and that is, if a liquid touches a dead body, instead of the liquid becoming an av hatuma, a primary level of impurity, that would be able to make even another person or another kli tomei if it touches it, a liquid that touches a dead body only becomes a rishain latuma. It's on the same level as something which is one step removed from an av hatuma, and that means that if it touches a person or it touches a kli, it would not make them tomei. That's with regards to liquids that are not intrinsically impure, but rather they become impure by coming into contact with a dead body. On the other hand, liquids which are intrinsic sources of impurity, for example, any liquid that exits from the body of a zov is somebody who has a severe level of impurity, and his saliva and any other liquid that comes out of his body is considered to be an av hatuma, a primary source of impurity mid eiraisa, according to the Torah. Now, if people get used to the idea of liquids that come into contact with a dead body not becoming an av hatuma, they are likely to end up treating any tomei liquid as something that is not an av hatuma. So whenever a tomei liquid touches a kli or it touches a person, people will end up assuming that the kli or the person did not become tomei, because that is indeed the law, strictly speaking, with regards to a liquid that became tomei from a dead body. However, because that's not actually true with regards to a liquid which is intrinsically tomei, in order to avoid people from coming to this wrong conclusion, that any tomei liquid is only on the level of a rishon latoma, midrabbanon, even a liquid that became tomei by touching a dead body will make a kli that it touches tomei. And that kli will be considered a sheni latuma, even though in general we never found a concept of a kli becoming a sheni latuma. Only food can become a sheni latuma. In this case, midrabbanon, we give the status of a sheni latuma to that kli. And the only thing that can become tomeh if it touches a sheni l'tuma is food that has an extra level of holiness to it, such as truma or the meat of korbanai sacrifices. If something like that touches this kli that became tomeh midrabanon from the liquid that touched the dead body, then that truma or korban meat would become tomeh. Now, it's very important that when the Rabbanon decree a level of impurity only on a rabbinic level, that we clearly differentiate between that kind of impurity and impurity which exists on a mid-Oraisa level, according to the Torah. We need to make sure that people are aware that something is Tomei only on a rabbinic level, and that they do not mistakenly think that it is Tomei according to the Torah. And the reason for this is because with regards to holy food like truma, it is forbidden to destroy that kind of food. However, if it becomes tomeh, then one is obligated to destroy it and burn it. So if something becomes tomeh on a rabbinic level, that means that mid-Oraisa, according to the Torah, this item is still not tomeh, and therefore it's forbidden to burn that food. Although mid-Rabbanon it's tomeh, mid-Oraisa it's not, and therefore one cannot burn it. But if people mistakenly think that it is tomeh mid-Oraisa, then they'll come to burn it, which would be forbidden. And therefore, in the original decree, when the Rabbanon said that something will become impure mid-Rabbanon, they needed to do it in a way that people would be aware that it is a different kind of impurity. And that way, when truma or other holy food becomes tomeh mid-Rabbanon on a rabbinic level, they will not end up burning it. Because of this, the rabbinic impurity that they decreed upon kalim that touched liquids that became tomei from a dead body was such that although if the liquid touches the inside of the kli, then the entire kli will become tomei. In that way, it's equivalent to a regular impurity mid-Oraisa. However, if this tomei liquid touches the outside of a kli, then only the surface of the outside of the kli becomes tomei. Not even any of the thickness of the kli will become tomei, rather only the very surface of it. And if this kind of kli happens not to have an inside or an outside, it's rather a flat item, so then all of the entire kli would become tomei. So the only case where really it is different to something that is tomei mid-Oraisa is in a case where the kli has an inside and an outside, and the tomeh liquid touches the outside of the kli. In that case, this impurity is unique, in that only the very outer surface will become tomeh, but none of the rest of the kli will be tomeh. Begins the Mishnah, kol hakelim, all utensils, and we're talking specifically about utensils that have a container. They have an inside and an outside. Yesh lahem achorayim v'soich. The law of achorayim v'soich, which means the outside and the inside, literally, will apply to such a kli. Kagoin, for example, hakorim, pillows, vaksosos, and mattresses, vasakin, and sacks, vamartzufin, and larger sacks, which are used to transport merchandise. The Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And even though occasionally these items might be turned inside out, so the inside becomes the outside, and the outside becomes the inside, since at any given time that they're being used, we can clearly define an outside and an inside, the law of achorayim v'soich will apply to these kelim. However, Rabbi Meir says that it must be that there's only one inside, and that is always used as the inside of the kli. And therefore, kol sheyesh lo tovros, if it's a kli that has loops, we're talking about loops which are very similar to the loops through which one puts a belt. If there are loops on the outside of one of these kelim, so then that prevents one from turning it inside out, which means that the inside always remains the inside and the outside always remains the outside. So with regards to such a kli, yesh lo achorayim v'soich, then the law of achorayim v'soich would apply. But v'chol she'ein lo tovros, if it doesn't have these loops and therefore occasionally it would be turned inside out and used like that, ein achorayim v'soich, the law of achorayim v'soich will not apply. Continues the Mishnah, ha-shulchan va-adulpaki, a table and a mini table on which the food is placed together with the drink before it is brought to the table, at which the people would eat, yesh lo achorayim v'soich, the law of achorayim v'toich will apply to them. And even though technically there's not really an inside and an outside, since the top of the table is the part which is really being used, that's the part of the table that holds things, that is defined as the inside, whereas the bottom of the table is defined as the outside. Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir, however, Rabbi Meir says, Ein lohem achorayim, they don't have an outside, it's a flat utensil at the end of the day, and therefore this law would not apply.
Rather, regardless of where the tomei liquid touches, the entire table will become tomei. V'chein tavla she'eino lizbeis, and the same applies to a tray that doesn't have a rim around it. It's flat, so technically there's no inside or outside. The same argument would apply. Mishnah Beis, Hamardeya, this refers to a goad, which consists of a wooden pole at the end of which is a tool that is used for uprooting roots and other things that are in the way of a ox as it is plowing. And on the other end of the wooden pole is a sharp point made out of metal, and that's used to prod the animal to keep on going or to go straight. So the main part of this kli is the parts which are on either end of the wooden pole, and those parts are made out of metal. And because they have different functions, we consider them to be two different utensils, at least according to the first opinion of the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah Hamardeya, this tool, the goad, yeshlo achorayim v'soich, the law of achorayim v'toich will apply, the inside of the utensil being the tool on either end of the stick, and the outside of each utensil being the amount of the wooden pole which is necessary to be used as a handle for the tool. And the Mishnah defines that Mishiva l'charchor, that refers to 7 tefachim of the pole that are nearest to the tool that is used for uprooting the parts which are in the way of the ox, and Me'arbo al Adarvon, the 4 tefachim of the pole that are nearest to the sharp point on the other end, that would also be considered the handle, the outside of that inside the kli. The Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that also held in the previous Mishnah that even something that, technically speaking, doesn't have an inside and an outside, if there is a part of the kli that is clearly the main part, and that's really the tool, and the rest of it is a handle, we can also apply the law of achorayim v'toich. On the other hand, just like in the previous Mishnah, Reb Meir argued, Reb Meir says, Ein lohem, the law of achorayim v'soich will not apply in this case. Rather, regardless of where the tomei liquid touches, the entire item will become tomei. Now, even Reb Meir agreed that there was a certain tradition that they had with regards to these measurements of 7 tefachim and 4 tefachim, but he says that those measurements were given with regards to a totally different law. Lo yuhuzku rabo v'shiva el alashirayim. These measurements of 7 tefachim of the pole being the handle, or 4 tefachim being the handle, that was only mentioned with regards to the remainder of this goad. If the goad breaks, and we're coming to define whether it's considered to be a broken kli, or a kli that is still usable and has the status of a kli that can still become tomei, so as long as it has a handle that is at least 4 or 7 tefachim, it would not be considered broken, and it would be able to become tomei.